We've assembled for the purpose of worshiping God and worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. We've sang songs of praise, and I believe we've sung as God has taught us and He's directed. We've had a prayer, and I believe it was according to God's will. I feel a deep obligation this morning to teach His word and nothing but His word. And then as we observe the Lord's Supper, we all feel a deep obligation of doing it in the proper way, in the proper frame of mind, and doing the way it'll please Him. And then as we give of our means, it's because of our love for mankind and people that are lost. So we've come together for that purpose this morning. I see we have several gone, but that does not hinder the service whatsoever, because Jesus said, where two or three gather together in my name, I'll be there in your midst also. I have the title of the lesson that just struck me, Listen to God, Christ, and Holy Spirit. I got thinking about that, and since I gave this to Nathan the other night, I got up a few thoughts that I don't have up there, but we'll start putting on the board in just a few minutes. You know, it's very interesting that how many times we don't listen. For example, how many times you told your children to do something, they didn't pay you no mind, you said, you wasn't listening to me. Were you listening to me? And really wasn't. Sometimes the children ask the parents something, and they just ignore them. Mom, Dad, do you hear what I said? Did you listen to me? And you know, that's true in school. A teacher teaches, and she'll ask the children, you didn't listen to what I said, did you? She'll instruct you how to carry out an assignment. You'll come, bring it in, you didn't listen to me. Y'all didn't listen to what I said. You know, that's true with God and Christ and us. They tell us things, we don't listen to it. Oftentimes, I'll be talking to somebody or somebody will be talking to me. I'll see somebody I want to say something to, and I'll look over there at them and I'll start making preparation to get over there so I can say it to them. And no doubt the person talking to him wondered, well, did he hear what I said? You see what we're talking about? That's the idea that we have in mind. You know, that's true during the teaching service. Sometimes our minds get to wondering, and I've had people, and probably I've done the same thing. I'd say, you know, during the lesson this morning, the teacher taught so-and-so. He taught what? I didn't catch it. I didn't hear that. Now, do we listen to God? Do we listen to Christ? Do we listen to the Holy Spirit? You know, there were seven letters or seven churches that letters were, the Revelation written to. And in each one of those letters to those seven churches, I have the scripture here, but I'll not take time right now to mention them. And here's what it says at the end of each of those letters. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. What? He that hath an ear, he's talking to the church, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Those who are not willing to hear God's word will never learn His message of life. A person that refuses to hear the word of God will not listen to it. They will never learn. They'll never understand the message of life. You know, this also implies here man's ability to hear and understand what God says. People out in the world say, well, the Bible's too hard to understand. We can't understand it. Well, this implies right here it can. And I believe it can. I've always thought that. I've never thought the Bible was too hard to understand it. Now, this shows a method. Follow me. This shows a method the Holy Spirit used in delivering God's messages to man. How did He do it? How did God deliver His message to man? Well, as He did there in these verses in Revelation 2nd and 3rd chapter. So So we find now that this is very important. Now, one other scripture here in John 8:47. Notice what Jesus said. He that is of God heareth God's word. What? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Folks, that's strong teaching. That's a strong warning. That's something we need to stop and listen and think about and pay attention to. And so we want to begin now, Nathan, here with 1 John, the 4th chapter, and verse 1. Now, I could preach many a lesson on this. Any person could. But I've just chosen these few thoughts this morning primarily because I think I need them. I think we all need them. In 1 John, the 4th chapter, and verse 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, John warns here, and he points out, believe not every spirit. Now, he means to try them by that testimony, which we know has come from the Spirit of God. Now, what he's telling us is, try them. I think this morning you ought to try me. You ought to take what I say, go to your Bible, look at it, and see if I explain it correctly and if I teach it correctly. Don't just say, oh, he wouldn't teach error, and just let it go. I want you to check me and follow me and so forth. So that's what John told them to do. And, of course, they can tell then where the Spirit of God. Now, here's the point that we've got to remember. There is a worldly spirit. There is a spirit of evil, and there is a spirit of Christ. Now, we have one of the two. We either have the spirit of Christ or we have the spirit of the world. And we're going to study about that in a few moments, how that directs us in what we do and so forth. Now, let's notice on further here. It matters not how humble, how pious, how religious a teacher may seem to be. He is worthy of belief only when his teaching is in complete harmony with the Word of God. You know, there's many a man that's humble, and I give him credit for that. He has humility. I give him credit for that. He's pious. He's religious. But at the same time, his teaching is false. He teaches those things that are wrong. I want you to know there's a lot of people out teaching now, and they're humble people. They're religious people, in a sense, and so forth, but they teach error. And that's exactly what he's telling us here. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether it be of God. And you know, that's just natural. A man with good personality, he can gain people. I remember several years ago when I lived in Waco, and my brother was alive, or several, all of them was, in fact, back then. But this one brother went to a digressive Sunday school church, and they had a preacher. And this preacher had a good personality. And he told me, he said, there's one thing that he's good at, and that's stealing members from other churches. Personality. Said he really can. He can steal members from other churches. What does that profit? What does that gain? We want new members. Sure, if somebody wants to worship with us, fine. And that's one thing I never do. I never go to these other congregations and try to get entice somebody to come here. I don't do that, and I won't do it. If they want to come, fine. We're glad to have them. You see the point? Now, they're humble, and they have that personality, and people like that. But that's not what God looks at. Now, let's notice on further here. Spirits here refers to true or false teachers with whom these Christians would come in contact with. Now, this is talking about people. Try the spirits. Now, that's used there concerning the individual man. You try him to see whether that he's of the Spirit of God. Because these teachers now, they would come in contact with him. And they've gone out into the world. And I want you to know, with all the conflict in teaching, all the conflict in doctrines, there's many people that are teaching a false doctrine. Now let's notice further here also what he said. Now get this. The apostle is addressing ordinary Christians with this instruction to test the teacher. Every Christian has this responsibility. When he said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God, whether they're of God, because many false prophets have gone out in the world. That's to you as well as it is to me. Yes, sir. It's your responsibility to try that teacher. Not just take his word, try that teacher. It's a responsibility. So he's talking to all Christians here, and that is our responsibility that we should do that. All right, let's notice next. Every person reveals what kind of personality or spirit he is by his word and action, although he may try to hide what he really is. I may try to hide what's really in my heart. Or I might be great out in public and so forth. I might be great at services. I might be great in your presence. But what I do other times, see, what's there? Now we reveal that. Every person reveals what kind of personality spirit he is by his word and action, although he may try to hide what he really is. And so when we trust people and people trust us, there's nothing there. You know, in playing games, Frances had a stepsister, bless her heart, she just comical as be, and she'd cheat. I don't care what she played, she'd cheat. She just would do that, and she'd get a kick out of it. Well, you had to watch her when you was playing with her because she'd cheat. I'll play a game with Frances, and she'll stop and say, I've got this, look here what I got. I don't have to look at it, I know it's exactly what she told me was. She's built that reputation. You see my point? Now, that's what we're talking about this morning. That's what we're talking about. Do we do it? Do we really do it? Are we really what we profess ourselves that we might be? Well, let's go on down to verses 2 and 3. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. What? Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. He points out to us here how that we know that spirit. In other words, we know that spirit of God when he confesseth that Jesus Christ here has come in the flesh. Now what he does, he acknowledges the one church. He acknowledges the one hope, the one faith, the one baptism, the one God, the one Christ, the one that. He's not Antichrist. He takes care of that, and he acknowledges all of that. Now notice in connection with this, in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter and verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. You mean a man can't say that Jesus is Lord when he don't have the Holy Ghost? Why, yeah, a man out here can say Jesus is the Lord, but he can't do that here unless the Holy Ghost. Now, the point is, I would not know, you would not know that Jesus was Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And even when he's on earth, people believed him. They didn't really know it. But when he went down that grave, was buried. And when he come forth out of that grave, God raised him. And when they stood there and they saw him ascend back into heaven, they knew that he was Lord. And the Holy Ghost told them that was it. And now I can tell you by the Holy Spirit that Jesus is a Lord. And I can tell you that by the Holy Spirit because of what I know right here. That's the reason I can tell you Jesus Christ. That's the reason I can tell you he's come. That's the reason I can tell you that he was real here upon earth. He was man as we are. Why? Because it's testified that it was. You see what it is? You see listening to God and what God says? And God says that we will notice this. Now let's notice here, and I'll give you an example here. Let's turn next now, the next point there. When Philip preached to the Samaritans and the eunuch, he preached more than the simple truths about the person of Jesus. Now what the scripture says, he preached them Jesus. Yes, he preached them Jesus. But what does that mean when he preached unto them Jesus? He preached the truths that proceed from Jesus, including God's conditions for salvation. He preached that when he preached Jesus. He preached that to them, and he they could see that. Notice in Acts 8 and 12, and also verse 36. Now Philip preached to them, but when they believed, Philip preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Listen to them. Listen to what it says. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. Why didn't he be baptized? Well, he preached to him, Jesus. It's more than just preaching the existence of Jesus. And when he did, they went on their way. And here we find now that he does. Now let's notice the point to go with this. False teachers are antichrist in that they are opposed to the teaching of Christ, his church, his people. They pretend to be of him. They have in reality forsaken him. Yes, sir. You know why? They don't listen to him. I want you to know, I have studied with many a person, and I've taught them a truth, and they say, well, I see that, I know it says that, but I believe. Where does that, but I believe, where does that come from? Does that come from the spirit of God or the spirit of evil, Satan? That's exactly what Satan wants you to say. That's exactly. And I'll tell you what, Satan don't want you to hear this morning. No. He don't want me to teach it this morning. But I'm going to defy him. I'm going to defy the world. Yes, sir. And I want you to know that false teachers are antichrist in the fact that they're opposed to the teaching of Christ. There's many religious person out there right now that will tell you that a lot of these things don't apply today. They're outdated. There's a lot of them that will tell you that it's just for those people and so forth. All kinds of things they'll tell you. Well, don't listen to them. You listen to God. You listen to Christ. You listen to the Holy Spirit. You know what Jesus said? The scripture says about Jesus? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. What? Jesus Christ same yesterday, day of Pentecost, day of Pentecost. Yesterday, today, and only in the time. It don't change. People say, oh, we got to keep up with the time. We got to keep up with the people. We've got to do what will draw the people and so forth. No. Brother, if this won't draw them, nothing will. Not to him. Not to him. This will all draw to him. I don't care what we do. This will all draw him to him. And so he points this fact out to him. And they make the sign of the church. Oh, you think your church is better than everybody else's? Why do you even have one? I didn't die for nobody. Jesus does, though. Or they say, you people, you think you're better, and so forth. I'll tell you what, we're different. If we're not, we're not his. If we're not different, we're not his people, because he tells us that we are to be better. All right, let's notice next point. All this originates from the love of error and an unwillingness to abide in the truth. That's where it comes from. It's from error, and we're just not willing to do it. I've had people tell me, I wouldn't go to that church of Christ for nothing. They're unwilling to. They just don't want to, see. I just wouldn't. And I've had people say, oh, don't tell me that. Right. You can't teach me nothing. All right. You're right. You see the unwillingness? They close their minds. They close their hearts. And they won't listen to God. They won't listen to Christ. They won't listen to the Holy Spirit. All right. Let's go ahead. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I want to tell you something, folks. With that one that's in you and that one that's within me, we can meet a man out here in the world, and we can take care of that man. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We can take care of the man. We're not afraid of him. Why? Because greater is the spirit that's in us than the spirit which is the world that's in those people. And those people, they will not accept it. All right, let's notice. The saints had overcome these false prophets. Yes, sir. Because they were of God. And the spirit in them was mightier than the evil spirit, that of Satan, which was in the false prophets. It was greater. God's greater. And that's what he's teaching us. And so we find that this is pointed out to us here now. Now, I want to go to 1 John, 2nd chapter, and verses 15 through 17. Follow me closely. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You've heard that many times, haven't you? But do you still love the world? Do I still love the world? The things of the world? There's two things here I want to notice. Lust of the flesh. That seeks physical gratification. Lust of the eyes. That seeks mental gratification. Gratification or mental pleasure. What do you like to look upon? What do you like to look at? Huh? What? All right. Let's see. Matthew 5:28. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Men, how many of us have ever been guilty of this? Women, how many of you have ever been guilty of enticing a man? Okay, let's take it on to other things now. What about other things that are wrong? 2 Peter 2:14. Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin. Beguiling unstable souls and heart, they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. What have they done? It's that old lust of the eyes. What do you watch on television? Huh? What do you watch on television? Notice here, next point under this. It was the lust of the eyes that contributed to the downfall of Eve. Oh, that fruit. I know God forbid it, but oh, it looks so good. Achan, that money he hid and so forth. And David on the housetop. Woo, look at that beauty over yonder. Look at that pretty woman over yonder. Lust of the eyes. Lust of the eyes. I'll tell you what, it caused them to fall. Yes, sir. They fail, and they will be held accountable for that. Okay? Let's notice next. The eyes are the windows of the soul that can be used to fill the soul either with beauty and grace or with evil cravings for forbidden pleasures. Yes, sir. The eyes of the soul can be used for that. And I want you to know, folks, we have to be very careful. Old Satan uses everything he possibly can to do that. Notice the next point. In this age, when people are so caught up in pornographic movies and literature, we should be alerted to the fact that these materials appeal to the evil craving of the eyes. Have you watched any of these pornography on television? Have you? Huh? Have you? Do you attend or go to somewhere where you use foul language and you sit there and listen to it? Do you? What about God's Spirit? What about Christ's Spirit? What about the Holy Spirit? Do you believe God would sit there while you and Christ and the Holy Spirit and watch that pornography with you if you do? I don't know whether you do or not, but if you do. I don't have a television. And I think there's some good things on television. But I'll tell you what, I'm afraid if I got to watch it, I'd get wrapped up in it. I'd watch it all the time, and I'd get to watch some things that wasn't too good. And I'll tell you, in this old land that we live in, used to, if a lady went downtown dressed like someone would do today in a grocery store and everything, they would have been looked down upon with scorn and with shame. And now, oh, boy, they're the walk of the town. They're the talk of the town, too. Yeah. See? Folks, I want to tell you something. We got it. I walked out of a high school play one time. We went several of the girls while in high school down in Dallas. And this was back in the, we lived there in the 60s. And went to some of them. They were really good. The children just done an excellent job. But no, they had come along, get you know, a little worldly stuff in it. And they started using some of this slang and language and let out one curse word, and we got up and walked out. It wasn't supposed to be that way. No, sir, I walked out. And I want to tell you something. Some of these deals, I can't think what to call them right now, that they have and all these things that they show in concerts, that's what I'm trying to think of. You better be careful when you go because they're going to entertain the world. That's what it's for. It's for the world. That's what it's for. It's for the world. And that's what the movies are. And it's for that money and for the world, and it's what the world likes to see. And you can just judge yourself, which are you? Do you have the Spirit of God or the Spirit of Christ? Now, Let me point this out to you. That's the reason that I encourage all the time that you study this word, that you pray, that you attend every service, you be around Christians, because that's how you build up that spiritual part of man. That's how you build up that spirit of God in you. And I've had people ask me, how do you know whether something's wrong, right or wrong? I'll tell you the reason that we know it, the reason you know it, is because of what you know about this word and what the spirit there with that word, it'll tell you it's wrong. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's exactly what I'm talking about, folks. And that's strange. All people try to make excuses, and they try, oh, you're too hard, and you're too strict and all that. This is a lot stricter than I am. I'm going to tell you, God, Christ, and Holy Spirit are a lot stricter than I am. I always thought I'd be as strict as they were. Yes, sir, I always thought I'd be as strict as they were. I don't come up to it at all. I'll tell you what, I'm trying. I'm trying. Yes, sir. And I'll tell you what, I have no desire to go out here and see people entertaining, and generally, most of the time, they've always got to bring out something that's kindly, you know, it's kindly doubtful. It's kindly on the shady side. It's jesting. That's the word. It's jesting. Take it either way. Take it either way. You see what he said? Listen to God. Listen to Christ. He says, love not the world, neither things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of God is not in that man. Now, let's notice just a little further here. To find mental pleasure in such filth destroys purity of heart and deprives one of fellowship with God. You know what we're to think on? Let me see if I can find it right quick. Whatsoever things pure, honest, just, good report, and so forth, that's what it is. Think on these things, and that's exactly what he tells us that we should do. Those things that are good, those things are pure, those things are honest. That slipped my mind temporarily here, but I've read it many times, but you know what I'm talking about. And he said, if I be in praise, if I be in virtue, think on these things. Yes, sir. Think on these things. And that's exactly what he tells us that we must do. Now, next. God is the source of light, life, wholeness, salvation, and blessing. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Through God, Christ, Holy Spirit, I can have light, I can have life, I can have wholeness, I can have salvation, I can have blessing, I can have eternal life too. But you know what? The world, there's a world out here, is a source of sin, lust, ruin, and death. You know what the world says? Oh, what's wrong with that? That's just a little old innocent thing. No. No, it's not just a little old innocent thing. And folks, I'm going to have to say it again about a couple of months. There's a day coming up. It's old Satan's days. It's old Satan day. Evil spirits, all that stuff. It's coming up. What's your spirit going to do? What's spirit in you going to do? What's spirit in me going to do? When I was a boy, I saw things happen. I didn't know what I know now. I didn't participate in it. I've seen them on that day. Take an old car and put it out on the highway, just the body of it. I saw them take a school at a flagpole and they tie a chair to it and put it up top. Pranks. I didn't have a desire to do it, but it wasn't because I wouldn't have a desire now. Why I wouldn't have a desire now is far greater than what it was then. I didn't participate in a lot of that stuff with the boys. And I'm glad I was taught enough by my parents that I didn't. Now, folks, many called, but few chosen. You listen to God, listen to Christ. Don't listen to me. You listen to God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Now, these scriptures we give you, I can give you a lot more. Our time has already slipped away from us. But I want to tell you something. We're going to stand there. Anthony Brockett, he was just a young fellow, wasn't he? Michael in his 30s probably, died of cancer. He's gone to that vast eternity. A lot of you will outlive him. A lot of you older, a lot of us older now than what he was. Don't know exactly what his age was. But death is no respecter of person. And to suffer in that fire, I don't know what it'd be like, but I know it's going to be painful. That rich man said, I'm just tormented. It never stops. Have you ever just really hurt or really been sick? Oh, boy, I'm looking forward to the time I can just feel better. It won't be that way there. All you look forward to, I'll never stop. This will always be. It's a lot more serious than people can. My last admonition, listen to God. Listen to Christ. Listen to the Holy Spirit. If you're here this morning, if you haven't listened to him, you haven't obeyed him, you've been taught the gospel, but you've not obeyed it. Don't put it off. Listen to him. Today is the day of salvation, he says. If you've heard the word, if you've believed it, you'll make the good confession before men, as the Ethiopian eunuch did, as pointed out a little while ago. I believe Jesus Christ, Son of God, commanded the chariot to stand still. Both went down the water, both Philip and eunuch baptized him. Oh, he was happy, man, when he comes out of that water. Went on his way rejoicing. Now I'm a child of God. If I meet death as I travel along now, I'm prepared to meet God. But what if he had not been baptized? What if he'd went on his way and died? Been awful with it. This morning, if you haven't lived, you should. Haven't kept his word. Haven't listened to him. Won't you make it right? We're going to give you the opportunity. Or stand. Or sit.